lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing
people, nothing important happens without a libation. And so for this very important presentation, we begin by the pouring of libation. We pour libation first to our first ancestor, to that hidden one who, though hidden, manifests in all things as all things, that God-goddess idea in the universe by any and all names. To our first ancestor, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the first people on this planet, mothers and fathers of all mankind, flashpoint of the human family. To those ancestors we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the ones who first gave birth to the idea of civilization, knew we would need a form of governance, and they nurtured that idea along the Nile until it reached its zenith in Kemet. There they built these gigantic monuments as evidence of that great civilization. And they carved instructions on the walls of temples and tombs for us, so we would never forget. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to our ancestors, because over time they put together all the tenets of civilization, and they took those ideas and left the continent. They were the people of the first Exodus. They left Africa and went all over the world and peopled the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation too to our ancestors because they did not sit on their laurels. They continued to improve, continued to evolve, and at each point of evolution, they again would leave the continent and settle and resettle the planet. They met themselves coming and going. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation too to those ancestors because over time, they found themselves the object of a forced exodus. When they were kidnapped, shackled, cargoed, shipped out of Africa and enslaved in diasporas around the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to the ancestors left at home, the very young, the aged, the infirm, left to reinvent themselves, depleted of us, human resources. But they were enjoined by us in the diasporas, both objects of a global myopia that ruptured the soul of a people as it ravaged a continent. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to those ancestors because over time they began to remember who and what they were. Because no matter where they had been dropped off, they still retained bits and pieces of who and what they were. They retained that African core that described them. They began to remember bits and pieces of a song. They began to remember lines from a rhythm. They began to remember dances that they did in ancient times. They began to remember those ancient drum beats that they now beat out on bare skin. And so to those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to them because they then began to teach each other. They began to resurrect and reconstruct that history and that culture. They became the new Africans wherever they were. They became the new teachers, preachers, archaeologists. the new singers, dancers, the new drummers, the new Jaliyah. They reconstructed that history and our culture and became new Africans everywhere. So to those ancestors, we pour libation. I shame. Pour libation to those ancestors because they are the ones who passed that information on to us. And so we pour libation to those of you who will watch this presentation. Those of you who are the recipients of that pieced together history, of that reconstructed culture. To you, we pour libation. I shame. Pour libation to our children and those yet to be born. For they are the ones that you must teach. And you can only teach if you know the history. So to you who are learning the history and are passing on that history, and to our children who are learning that history and will pass that history on to all eternity, for they will call your name in all eternity. To our children we pour libation. Ashe. Ashe. Asheo.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Get the white out. I grinded out that black hole and performed up at the White House. Standing next to Jim Carrey, we traded stories then laugh. I said, you're not the only one I know got rich wearing masks. Where I'm from, I swear they broke. They need way more than the cash. We need more than what you have, and then we need more than that. But how I'm supposed to say I'm tired if that girl from West Virginia came up in conditions that I could survive? Went to war, came back alive. On top of that, became a female black captain. When being black, you had the extra, extra try. Way before James Brown made us proud. She bought a crib on the same street as Marvin Gaye, right there on how to drive. And she taught me how to drive. And she raised the kids, then the kids' kids. And she did it right. Taught me how to love, taught me not to cry. When I die, I hope you teach me how to fly. All my life, you've been that angel in the sky. Saying, I hope you learn to make it on your own. If you love yourself, just know you'll never be alone. I hope that you get everything you want and that you chose. I hope this is the realest thing that you ever know. I hope you get the pretty girls, it's pretty and everything. $1 million cribs, have $1 million dreams. When you get it all, just remember one thing. Remember one thing, that one man can change the world. One man can change the
all the refugees. Look like we had a fucking hurricane here. Are we shooting whether it's dark or not? I mean, the days is pretty dark a lot. Down here, it's easier to find a gun than it is to find a fucking parking spot. No love for the opposition, specifically a cop position, because they never been in opposition, getting violations from the nation, correlating you dry snitching.
I've been riding around with my blood on my lips, with the sun in my eyes and my gun on my hip. A lot of niggas dying, so my nine with the shits. I'm riding around with my blood on my lips, with the sun in my eyes and my gun on my hip. Paranoia on my mind, got my mind on the fritz. But a lot of niggas dying, so my nine with the shits. If we scared too, I know you scared. Me too. I know you scared. You should ask us if we scared
truth. If you was there, and we just knew you cared too.
It just got warm out. This shit I've been warned about. I hope that it's storm in the morning. I hope that it's pouring out. I hate crowded beaches. I hate the sound of fireworks. And I find it what's worse between knowing it's over and dying first. Cause
everybody dies in the summer. When I say goodbyes, tell them while it's spring. I heard everybody's dying in the summer. So pray to God for a little more spring. I know you scared. You should ask us if we scared too. If you was there, and we just knew you cared too.
It's just flawless, isn't it?
You are listening to Black Sister Talk, So You Can Breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? Welcome to Black Sister Talk. Let me just get to my normal self. Give me a second to breathe, y'all. Cause this show, this was a last minute change, but a necessary change. Okay. A last minute change, but a necessary change. And so, hello. Happy Saturday. And thank you for joining us at Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. But before we get started, I would like to take some time and just thank everyone for being here with us to breathe, and ask that our listeners call in to participate in the community therapy discussion. Join us at Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, by calling 215-490-9832. Whew. Now let's get into it. For my regulars, you know how it goes, and my newbies, I'm gonna tell you how it goes. We start this show off every week giving homage, paying respect to our ancestors. I say. And so today's ancestral profile is going to be none other than King Von, aka the Grandson. I chose this profile because it is relevant to today's topic and may provide some insight into the lives of some of the men that we will be discussing on today. Daquan Bennett, born August 9th, 1994, and passed November 6, 2020. He was known professionally as King Von. He was an African-American rapper and songwriter from Chi-Town, aka Chicago, Illinois, for those who don't know all the street terms. He was signed to Lil Durk's record label, Only the Family, also known as OTF, and Empire Distribution. King Von was born Daquan D. Bennett on August 9th, 1994, in Chicago, and he spent most of his life in Parkway Gardens, aka O Block, located at the corner of 64th and Martin Luther King Drive, and on the south side of Chicago. Let me mute you for a minute, Josh. On the south side of Chicago. He grew up as childhood friends with rapper Lil Durk, as well as fellow Parkway Gardens resident Chief Keef. Thank you, Simply. Thank you for joining this discussion as well. Von was originally from a Chicago set named Killer Ward, Y'all know, if you're, for all my Chi-Town people, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm from Chi-Town too. So this right here touches home. You know what I'm saying? He was known for his nickname, Grandson, which according to Vaughn, he obtained from an elderly man whom he shared a cell in prison. He was always helpful to him. And older gentlemen started referring to him as his grandson. At age 16, Vaughn went to jail for the first time. This will only be the start of a long course of legal trouble for him. In 2014, he was accused of a shooting that killed one and wounded another. Allegedly. I'm not sure of that, so let me throw that out there. After proving his innocence and beating the case, King Von took to rapping, collaborating with Lil Durk on singles. Lil Durk eventually signed him to OTF, entertainment label. After fellow rapper Lil Durk signed King Von to his OTF label, Von released his single, Crazy Story, on December 6, 2018, and it became his breakout single. Bump that after this show, y'all, because that's that fire. On Valentine's Day, 2019, Von, then girlfriend, rapper, Asian Doll, released a music video for a track about the artist, Grandson, in which Von appeared. In May 2019, Crazy Story 2.0, featuring Lil Durk, was released, and a subsequent music video was later released on May 20th of that month, and peaked at number 4 on the bubbling under Hot 100 chart. On September 13, 2019, a third rendition of the single called Crazy Story Part 3 was released. On July 9th, 2019, Lil Durk and King Von released their collaborative single, Like That. On September 2nd, 2019, Von released his single, What's It Like? The single then appeared on his album, Grandson, Volume 1. And on September 19, 2019, Von released his 15-track mixtape, Grandson Volume 1, featuring Lil Durk on a pair of tracks. The album debuted at number 75 on the Billboard 200 and number 27 on the Hip Hop R&B Albums chart. On November 16, 2019, Von released his single 2 AM on Hip Hop R&B Albums chart. On November 29th, 2019, Von released his single Rollin' Future YNW Nelly, accompanied with a music video. On January 10th, 2020, Detroit rapper Sada Baby's single, Pressin', was released featuring King Von. And on February 21st, 2020, Von released Took Her to the O, which went on to become one of his most popular songs. It was included on his mixtape, LaVon James, released on March 6, 2020, which peaked at number 63 on the Billboard 200. The album features verses from NLE Choppa, Polo G, T Grizzly, G Herbo, Lil Durk, and YNW Melly, amongst others. On April 29, 2020, King Von released his single, Grandson for President, which did well in popularity. He followed that up with a music video released for Broke Ops, a song from LaVon James. He then released another single titled Why He Told on July 27, 2020, and followed up with another popular single, All These Niggas, or to the white folks on this line, All Them N-Words, Don't You Dare, featuring Chicago rapper Lil Durk, which garnered over 21 million views on YouTube. He then released another single titled How It Go on August 26, 2020. Thank you, first class. On April 29, 2020, King Von released his single. Oh, I just told y'all that. My bad. On October 9, 2020, King Von released I Am What I Am, featuring New York rapper Fivio Foreign. This release was in anticipation of his debut study album, Welcome to O Block, released on October 30th, 2020. The 16-track album features production, Chop Squad, DJ, Takey, Weezy, and Hitmaker, among others. The album includes the Polo G collaboration, The Code, which was released with a music video. On December 24th, 2020, Lil Durk released his album, The Voice, as a tribute to King Von, who also appears on the album cover and on the song still trapping. Let's go over a little bit of his legal issues. You know, on November 21st, 2012, Bennett was arrested and booked into Cook County Jail for unlawful possession of a firearm. And on July 24th, 2014, Vaughn was arrested in connection with a shooting in May 2014, resulting in the death of several men and the injury of two others. Vaughn was charged with one count of murder and two counts of attempted murder. The shooting took place at 5700 South LaSalle Street in Englewood, Chicago. After witnesses failed to testify, all charges against King Vaughn were dropped, and towards the end of 2017, he walked free. Lil Durk has said in an interview with Vaughn on The Breakfast Club that he pressed Vaughn to become a rapper to stay out of any more trouble. In June 2019, King Vaughn and Lil Durk were arrested in connection with a shooting in Atlanta. Vaughn, along with his co-defendant Durk, appeared before a judge in Fulton County courtroom for a probable cause hearing. Prosecutors claimed the two men robbed and shot a man outside a popular Atlanta drive-in on February 5th, 2019. And on November 6th, 2020, King Vaughn was in an altercation outside an Atlanta nightclub that took place around 3:15 a.m. between two groups of men. One of them was rapper Quando Rondo. The dispute quickly escalated into gunfire, which is when two police officers attempted to break up the shootout with additional gunfire. After being shot, Bennett was subsequently transported to a hospital in critical condition and died there later that day. He was 26 years old. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation initially reported that three people were killed, but an Atlanta police spokesman said that only two of them died. So four people were wounded instead. One of them was placed into police custody for the murder of King Vaughn while being treated for a gunshot wound. The suspect was identified as Timothy Lee, also a rapper known as Lil Tim. Lil, with a U, Lil Tim, age 22. On November 15, 2020, King Vaughn was buried in his hometown of Chicago. Let's lift this young man up in spirit. Let's pay tribute to one of our fallen soldiers. Today, I was touched to have this discussion and change my whole plan. I gotta be real with y'all. I got some disturbing news early this morning, and due to confidentiality and things like that, because I am gonna respect folks, I am not gonna use any names in this discussion at all. But today we are gonna breathe. We are going to breathe for our little black boys. We are gonna breathe. So happy Saturday, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk. I am Miss Wanda, your therapist, favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. And today's discussion will focus on our young black boys and saving them. I mean, working out here in the system with all of these different families, I mean, I get to meet so many different people. I get to enter their lives, and they tell me their most intimate secrets. I mean, things they don't even want to talk to God about, these people to share with me. And so to be able to come into somebody's life and be an impact, that is the best feeling. The best feeling in the world for me. That might not be your thing, but that's my thing. And so today I want to breathe on the black boys, because I am seeing what is happening to these young men. I am seeing them from as young as 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, where I see that innocence in them. And then as they grow, if they have those mentors and they have people who can intervene in their lives, there's a chance we can save that baby. But what I'm finding is that the system sometimes is just falling short. It's just not enough. So today we're going to breathe on these young men, because what I'm finding is without leadership and role models and a parent who's going to put their foot down no matter what and be present, some of these babies are just slipping through the cracks. And so we going to breathe on this today. We are going to breathe on the lives of these children, because I can't lie to you. It's baffling to me that things are happening while we are in our bed asleep. Where are your kids at? When you go to bed at night, do you know where your kids is at? Do you know if they okay? Do you know if they ate? Do you know if they baby? I mean, where is that kind of love at? Where is that at for these young men? Because this is creating more generational trauma. If he make it, I think what I learned growing up in the hood is that what if you make it to 18 or 21, you were OG, and if you make it to 25, you a double OG. So to hit those certain ages in our community has become milestones, has become things that you have to look forward to in life. And I think it's a little bit more than that. We need to have a little bit more than that for our youth. We got to breathe on this today. Let me fix this. Y'all know I'm still going to have to work this, but let me fix this so people can at least join in, because I want both platforms to be able to chime in and share their experiences as well. But yeah, like I was saying, it is so heartbreaking to see these young men have so much innocence, so much potential, and the lack of love, or the lack of unconditional love, is just not there. I mean, I'm sorry, y'all, because I'm trying not to go there. And when I say go there, I'm trying not to cry, because my heart is broken. My heart is going out to these people, because what do you do? What do you do when you feel like you can't do nothing else as a parent? What do you do? Do you give up? Do you walk away? Do you let go? What options do you have?
You've been served.
Exactly. So we gonna breathe for these little black boys today. That's our plan. I know I got some people on the community therapy platform that will chime in just a minute to go ahead and share some of their experience as well. And if anybody else on the line, thank you, First Class. And if anybody else is on the line who has had some experiences or are in need or trying to protect their little black boys, we're going to have a discussion about that and how we can move forward, as not only parents and families, but as communities, to address some of these issues with violence. Because I'm not sure of the details of how things occurred. All I know is a life was lost that didn't need to be lost. And so how can we learn to work together, as leaders, as people, as a village, seeing these young men coming up in the world? What is it that we can do to better, assist? What can we do to better situate ourselves to help these young men? Because what I'm experiencing is a bystander effect. What I am experiencing is seeing people see things happening, but they're not getting in the mix of what's happening. They're not standing up and saying something or stepping in, or that ain't my business. I'm not going to insert myself in that. But guess what? I'm calling attention to this. It's time to get in people's business, especially the black folks. We is in this community. You know what's going on. You know what's going on. Exactly. Reach out and don't be afraid to step in, because communication is key. That's right, First Class. Communication is key. And if you are not stepping up to the plate and you being a bystander, it's because something is broken in you. And now you need to address what you're doing. Or maybe, you know what, step outside yourself and recognize what's broken in you so you can help somebody else. Because let me tell you, any intervention is an opportunity, but I'm going to tell you what I know about these kids from working with them. You telling them something about your mouth, they don't even care. They need to see it in from your actions. Don't be telling them, oh, I wasn't shit, so you can go ahead and go out there and live your life the right way, because I lived it wrong. Get up and show your kid that you are trying to get on the right track, so you can teach them that they can get up on the right track. Kids are learning from your inactions as well as your actions. And so we got to step up to the plate and be the change we want to see in our damn kids. Let me let you know, you need to get up and be the change you want to see in your damn kids. Stop talking about your kids. Stop calling your kids dumb and stupid. Stop telling them they ain't going to be shit. Stop talking about their daddies, or daddy, stop talking about their mama. Because this is a problem. This is the foundation you're laying. You doing things to manipulate your children, and your children are learning that you are a great manipulator, and then they're learning how to manipulate you. So I'm going to need y'all to know, today is the day that I am calling attention to anyone who may be having an issue with this, because we can talk about it. You are not alone. There are so many other people out here who are experiencing the same thing as you are. And I just want you to know that you have somebody who wants to help you. Go out there and get that help. Come on, Josh Jermaine. breathe on it.
Let's breathe on it. Let's breathe on it. Yeah, it's
tell
been
me,
so tough.
Tell, yeah, so tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that anything that I just said was wrong. And if any parent is offended, this is not a conversation to offend you. This is a conversation to jump charge your ass so you can get up and wake up tomorrow and treat that as a present. It's a gift. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity to try again. Okay? It's a new opportunity to get it right. Let's.
You better say that, Miss Stranger. You better say that, Miss Stranger.
Man, y'all just don't know. Y'all just don't even
because
know.
Because Miss Chambers, a lot of these people. A lot of these people. Huh?
I'm listening to you. Ms. Devine, go ahead. Say what you got to say. I'm having a little technical things with my little light thing over here, girlfriend.
Okay, so a lot of these parents need to realize that they are pushing these kids out into the street. When you called the parents out about being manipulative, these kids don't get this stuff just out of nowhere. A lot of these kids get this stuff from their parents and from what they see in the household. The dysfunction that you try to hide in the household is the dysfunction that you're going to see displayed in your child. Not every child, but if it sounds true to you, if it's offending you, it must be you. Because we have to stop always putting everything on the youth and making it seem like the youth is getting this out of the air. This is what they're seeing. Our parents laid the foundation for us. But what did they leave for us, though? Lies, family secrets, dysfunction, poor communication skills, never taught us how to love ourselves because they don't love themselves. I mean, basically what's happening with us and with the black community, with these black boys, a lot of this is a reflection of the community and our individual households.
Exactly, Ms. Devine. And that's what it really comes down to. This is, to even attack a parent right now, that is not even the thing I really want to address in this discussion. I really want to get into the generational trauma and the fact that this to blame a parent is to look back a little deeper and see what that upbringing was with their parent and a couple generations back, and not to even think about the epigenetics that is going on in this situation. This is an integrated discussion. So you're going to have to get your pad and pencil and notepad or whatever you're going to do. Get your cell phone if you're tech savvy and take notes. Because this is not something that is a one-size-fits-all solution type of discussion. This is just simply let's breathe and let's have this think tank type of discussion so we can go back and kind of take a look at self. Let's address self-awareness. Let's start with each individual. And then each individual will go out into their family and go ahead and start admitting, you know what, I'm wrong for that, and I'm wrong for this, and I am sorry for that. And take some accountability, because these kids, if they do make it to 25, you know what I'm saying? They out here living, going through the motions. No clear plan, no clear guidance. They just doing what they feel is right and natural. Survival skills. And so, listening to what you saying, Ms. Devine, and just thinking about like growing up and experiencing different things in life, you know, you grow up still that broken child. You grow up still going to that place when certain situations confront you. And I say to that, how can you heal and move forward in life if you don't admit that there is something broken in you? Okay. Our black boys are broken at a very young age. Our black boys barely have a chance to survive in these streets. And we're not going to even talk about King Von in this. We just brought King Von up in this just for the sake of explaining to you guys that he is a representation. Just like I call myself Black Sister Talk. You know why it's Black Sister Talk? Because I represent the sisters. I represent our people. Okay, and so when I see another black woman, I am going to go out of my way to support her, to help her, to lift her up, to love on her, to tell her she's beautiful. Yes, it is. They are broken because of their mothers. Damn right, first class. First class, get your butt up in that box and come on and talk your shit. Because you know what's up. Since you know what's up. But seriously, this is a generational thing. And their mothers was broken, right, first class? Because they mamas was broken, and because they mad at the baby daddy, and because they bitter, and shit didn't go the way they was planning, because you know what? They still a kid. And then you might be dealing with a mother who done been molested, that done been through all kind of stuff, and just having these babies so they can do what the hell they want. I need the baby so I can get the check. You know what I'm saying? They ain't even about the kids no more. That's the kind of shit we up against.
Correct.
Hey, first class. Hello. Can you guys hear first class? Let me make sure. I got two speakers going in here. Yes, first class has joined us in our live. But you know what I'm saying? This touched home for me. I've been up all day trying to piece together my thoughts, and I said, you know what? I ain't even gonna write no nothing, because I'm very organized. This ain't no nothing. I don't need to write nothing. This is coming straight from my heart today, because I'm telling you, to come into these people's homes and to be working with these families so intimately and seeing these issues, I got to tell you, this is a conversation. We talking about saving our black boys, but we really need to talk about these parents. We need to talk about these parents, because if these parents don't make no changes, these kids ain't going to make no changes. I always say, and please, please understand where I'm coming from, because y'all don't know me and y'all know my heart, but I keep it real. And I say how it needs to be said, because what I'm going to say is something you probably want to say, but don't got the guts to say. So I'm going to just tell you like this. If you an ain't shit parent, you have a high probability of having an ain't shit kid, because you taught them how to do that. You taught them how to be this way. And I mean that with the most respect. I mean that with the most respect, so that I can get your attention right now. I can get your attention for you to go get the help you need. Cause this is crazy. This shit is crazy, man.
To admit, because they don't want the blame on their hands when things happen, so they don't want to take the ownership of what they created. Is everything you learn at home, and whether you have a good home or a bad home, because people really believe that because you have a good home, you're gonna have a good child. It's also the environment that you bring that child up into. So you can have a good home, but if your child is in the wrong crowd and mixed with the wrong crowd and want to fit in, this is what they're going to do. So sometimes it's not just always the parent. Sometimes it's their environment that child is going to help them to. And we don't teach our children the better way. We are so caught up in these materialistic things as well. They're caught up in you know, the things that make these children go in that direction. Sorry.
Okay.
As well. You know what I'm saying? And you get caught up into that, the streets. Show them how to make the money to get to that. And you have some parents who think that that's the way. You know, you have to have the latest. You have to be into the fashion. You have to be into all of these things. And the reality is, you don't really have to. You want to, because you want to fit in somewhere. You know, and when these parents realize that as well, that, you know, being from a ghetto neighborhood, that you don't have to fit in. You don't have to just because you're in the ghetto. You can always find another way. You just don't try to find another way. Like, I have my daughter and my daughter in the neighborhood that I am in. I keep her out. She's never here. She always goes to another borough. Not to say it's not the, you know, the hood, but this one here is far worse than where she goes. So the caught up into this neighborhood for her is not what I wanted. So every chance is she can't be here. She gotta go. You know what I'm saying? Well, I provide things in the home for her to keep her active so that she don't have to be in the streets either. You know, so if we put more effort into our children, probably to get better results. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people, you know, feel like, I can't be my child's friend. Well, I don't want the streets to be their friend either.
Come on.
So I gotta be somewhat of a friend. And I gotta be open-minded when it comes to them, because I know what I was through. I know how I was through. But if I keep shutting down when it comes to that, because you don't want to be real without you. We want to sugarcoat. We want to hide certain things. You know what I'm saying? And then when they get out there, who is complaining? I have a relationship with my daughter and my son, and I tell them what it is. It may seem much, you know, poor child. But if I don't tell them, the streets is going to teach them. And I'd rather me teach them than the streets teach them.
You know what I'm
saying? The streets going to teach them the dangerous way. I'm going to teach them in that turn light way. You know what I'm saying? You don't have something. This is what it is in these streets. Somebody's going to grab hold of one of your kids and hold on and don't let go. So I'm very real and direct with my, you know, with my kids, my daughter too. You know what I'm saying? There is no shit to cope with when it comes to home. These boys out here only want to just have sex with you. Watch yourself. Here's protection. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very direct with them. And a lot of parents want to hide things, like throwing rocks and hiding your pieces. You can't do that. Because, like you said, the further you go back and back, this is why some of these boys are damaged, because the parents was damaged because of what they went through, being raped, being touched by family members, nobody talking. And it continued. And no one ever said nothing. Because it was the family secret.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know what I'm saying? That's what it is here, you know. That's what they're accustomed to. And that's what people do in their household. They hide things. Nothing for me. I feel like once a child reaches age, maybe the actress is telling hold a little decent conversation. Doesn't have to be too much of explicit, but I gotta talk. It's not for everybody. I had to tell my son. My son's never been locked up or incarcerated. My daughter's never been pregnant. My daughter's never been out here with multiple boys and having sex out here. And she's 19. And my son is 25. First baby at 25, he probably could have had a baby lead for him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But at the end of the day, the things that I instilled in them is to let them know that this world is not going to do, it's not going to treat you good. So listen to the things that I'm telling you and understand that I'm not trying to keep you from the world. I'm just trying to educate you to the world.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people, parents don't do it. I think they have to. Well, he's young, and I have to keep him. Listen, you can say that, but when that world grab a hold of him, you're going to wonder what happened. And that's what some do. They wonder what happened. No, what happened is you didn't give him what he needed when he was home. You didn't instill in him. Yeah, you might have had the good intention, but what about the street code? Because there's a street code and there's book code.
Exactly.
Give him that street code on top of that book code so he can prepare himself. Don't just put all the books into him. And this is what he needs. This is what he needs. Put other things into him too. Let him know this world is a cool world. That's the problem. And if you ain't got him in the suburbs, in a good neighborhood, somebody gonna stand up.
Exactly. Because they prey on your kids. They prey on your kids, especially growing up in Chicago. They will prey on your kids. I was one of them kids growing up playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? Just like you said, first class. My mother, as many problems as she had enough sense to make sure I went to a school that was way up out of our neighborhood so I can experience certain things. Very seldom do our kids move outside of the 8-block radius in their neighborhood. I lived in Chicago my whole life, and I knew people who never even been downtown. Never even seen the Eiffel Tower. So it's about exposure. It's about a lot of things when it comes down to making sure your kids are exposed to stuff. And I love what you're doing, because that says to me, I got values. I'm standing on my word. I'm a strong black woman who stands for something, because a lot of our women have been broken. A lot of our women are out here suffering in silence and just trying to figure out how to make it. And I want those sisters who are listening, and anybody that's on this live right now, please tap the screen, share it, like it. You know what I'm saying? You don't gotta send me no gifts. I appreciate any gifts you send me, but I want you to know that this is something that we need to continue to keep doing on this platform. we got to talk about these things. You might be giving some information right now. First class is going to help somebody. And so that's what this is about. I'm going to go to the call line real quick. First class, you ain't got to go nowhere if you don't want to. And have some other people chime in too. Does anybody who's on the, community therapy line want to share anything right now before we get to the top of the hour?
Yes, this is Lucille.
Yes, Lulu. This is Lucille. Lulu.
Hey, Lulu, and how you doing, girl?
And you know, I am good because, this is something that has plagued me for a long time. This is racism. Our families are
in big trouble.
And we go back and, you know, I'm getting a fee. You know, I'm phone. Can I call you back?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to come out of it.
Yeah, that's fine. Lulu will come back. But, you know, to her point, Lulu works in the school system. And so Lulu is experiencing this in a whole nother kind of way. I know.
Okay, I'm back. Wow. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, let me see.
Still doing it. I worked with
Is it still doing that now?
And I have gone through this situation. I've had like 3 kids to die on my watch, and I knew the families, and I know what's going on. I've read the history, and it hurts in a sense because it takes me back. I believe it's Richard Wright's Native Son. The story has a whole different plot, but the plot that gripped me was when this young man wanted to buy a gun, and his mother helped him to save the money, and he bought it. And the plantation owner seen him with the gun, and he was mad about it, and he shot up in the air. And the boy hadn't did anything, and it came down and killed his horse. Well, the plantation owner came to the boy's daddy, and he said to him that, your son killed my horse, and what is he doing with a gun? The man went down really hard on his wife. You couldn't have a, right then, no normal life. And she was doing this for her son, but he was going to please him. And he said, I want you to beat that boy right now. And he knew that he killed his horse himself. So the boy, I believe he was 12 years old or so. I don't know how old he was. But anyway, he ran away, got on the train and went to Chicago. And then you get the rest of the Native Son's story. But that caught me. Because we have ignored our children. And even the book, The Bluest Eye, if you ever read it, and Make Me Want to Holler, that's a few books where they show how the kids are neglected, but we are taking care of somebody else's children and not giving our children what they need. And we can't, and it's like, look at the parents. I mean, it's like, to blame someone and hurt their feelings and they just want to hide is hurting them. But the whole point is that we have to start to embrace with love the young women who have babies. And if they have that baby gets to 100% of them. And I want to just twist this over a little bit to show you a situation. I had a little girl that got out of Southern Oaks, and she was living with her grandma, and she wanted to go home to her mom. But she had got in there because a gang of girls beat her up, and she got the best of them. So her mom, she called her mom from the probation office, and I was listening to her. And her mother, the man in the background, started cursing and swearing. He told her, it's either me or her. If she come, I'm gone. He put this on her, and this girl, she started crying because she wanted to go home. And she wanted to leave her grandma. But see, these are the things where we got to start training. We got to start telling, and women have to learn to tell the man the truth. If you come with her and she got a child, that child still have rights. That you brought that child. And that's what people, I mean, it's just, oh, it's too much. This is huge. But that young lady, she had gotten out, but she was going to go to her mom's house, and she took a knife because she was afraid of that man. And some girls ganged up on her, and she cut them up really bad. Cut them up. And she went back, and she went to Ellsworth, and she was there until she was 23 years old. So now you imagine this young lady have a child, and she's been treated like this. Where is the stability of a family? we can't blame the parents because they've been railroaded, and it started back a long time ago. And it's not everybody, but it's that handful that kept growing and growing till it's out of control. Sex was more important than their children.
But I think that we can look at the parents, because racism starts outside the home, and you encounter your family in the home before you encounter racism.
Right.
And so our families, you know, they need to be held responsible, because these are the same people that say what goes on in the house stays in the house. And so if that's the case, you have to look at them too and be like, okay, but if it's going on in the house and you don't want me to talk about it, where am I supposed to get help from when things are happening? Why I can't even trust the people that's in the house? And then it makes you kind of want to go outside the house and figure out, well, if I can't trust these people in here, I'm going to go out here then, because this right here is not working for me. That's the reason why there's such a generational gap, because as the younger people, we're not being listened to. And then in the home is not right, but they don't want anybody to know that. So we're supposed to keep those secrets as well, even though the very people that's telling us to keep secrets are not even displaying that they care enough about us to be loyal to keep their secrets, especially when their secret is hurting us. So then we go outside of the home, and then in the communities that we live in, there is nothing really positive here. So where do the kids go? To the street people.
Mm-hmm. And so that was a big really worry. Dream. That was a big worry of mine with seven boys, and I'm always wondering, is something going to happen to them?
Something going.
And I prayed, and I talked. But when they got themselves in trouble, after I went through them with the first round, when you made a choice for the second round, I'm not going to be there. I don't care what, I'm not coming there for you because you made a choice. And they have been okay. They have made it. I have a son who murdered a man, I would love to tell his story one day, but he's a whole new person. You got to understand everybody's situation. And my son said, Mama, I know you taught. People make choices, because inside of everybody, you know right from wrong. And if you hang with people that are doing wrong, it's going to affect you one day. Because I even had one of my sons was in the Brotherhood of the Struggle, and their cousin. And when he wanted to get out because he had to work, he had three kids, his own people that he trusted, they tried to kill him. I had him in hiding with the FBI for 3 months, and they went to his home, got around and banged on the windows and was scaring her, and he came out and they got him and they beat him so bad. I don't think he have all this good sense right now, but I'm saying this because some things wasn't happening in my home. That's why a lot of people, it's different in everybody's home. There's no one size fit all. And people, the parents, they do need help. The kids need help. But then we have to come together to talk about it because, I told what's name about this. One of my sons who was telling me, he's a schizophrenic now, he says, and one day he come to me and said, you don't love me. You never did nothing for me. But yet he's living in my house and he's a grown man. And I know I stayed at home with my kids. But he had friends who mamas was prostitutes and stuff and gave them money just so they could hit the street. And I did good things for my children. And I told them, I bought their clothes in Boston, so I thought I was doing right, making sure they get to school and get an education. Understandingly, it's about what's out there in the world and the kids making choices. Sometimes they have to grow up and learn from them choices, and I hope they don't die before they learn it. So it's to say, and people do keep secrets, not just them. It's in all families. I work with all races, and it's secrets are in everybody's race. I watched a Laotian woman try to commit suicide because she was raped in her country and came here, and somebody found out about it, and it's a very low-down, degrading thing. So when I say, there's a group of kids that say they couldn't get in the home, and they went to the street. I know young ladies that was pregnant at home and their mothers didn't even know they was pregnant. And then they had babies and then they didn't know what to do. So, yes, it's true. Racism is out here, but the racism of rearing people started back on the plantation and how we treat our children.
But everybody has their own brain and everybody has their own. See, the only reason why I feel the way that I feel is because I'm one of those people who was told to be quiet. And I'm one of those people who had that upbringing where it was like, you know, you basically don't matter. How you feel does not matter. You know, I come from the type of grandmother and aunties and uncles where it's like you were to be seen and not heard. And so if you already are shutting our voices down, even though that's the generation that felt like that, and I understand that that's the times that they lived in, that the evolvement has to happen in order for there to be a connection from one generation to the next. And so even though it is in other races, we're not talking about the other races. We have to keep the focus on us. And even though our parents and our grandparents went through a lot of things, look at us now. Because of the things that our grandmothers went through, and they put our mothers and fathers through, and then our mothers and fathers put us through, most of us in my generation, and I'm 32 years old, we're trying to recuperate from generational garbage that has been dumped in us. And as a result, the older generations before us tell us we need to be quiet about it, or tell us that we're lying, or they have selective memory. So the thing is, why aren't the generations before us taking accountability instead of continuing to ignore things? Because that's why we get nowhere. That's why there is discrimination. That's why we run to the street. That's something that needs to be acknowledged, because it's very important for us to have these things going on and then being told that this is not told. And we know it's happening, but there's no acknowledgement. And if there is an acknowledgement, it's the thing like, oh, well, we went through this too. Well, we went through this too. Okay, but we're going through it as well, and you see that we're making a change. So we're putting ourselves through making changes and trying to clean up not only our mess, but the mess that was left for us. I think that it would do you all well and the generations before us to take care of your mess too and take accountability for your part as well. Because then all of us will be able to take a responsibility for our own individual part. But if everybody's so busy focusing on, well, other races have it too, or this happened to us and this happened to us, okay, we're not going to get nowhere pointing one finger when we got three pointing back at us. So I think everybody needs to take responsibility for the level that they stand on and not continue to look outside
themselves. But listen, damn it. Miss, your favorite therapist over here been patient a goddamn enough. I done let y'all talk, okay? Now, y'all know it's 4 o'clock and it's the top of the hour. We know how to go. You is a regular.
What?
You is a regular, Miss Divine. But I let you breathe and get your words out. You got your words out. But listen, it's the top of the hour. We're going to get back on this topic because I got a response for you, Miss Divine, and you, Lulu. Okay, let's stay tuned.
What you're calling African history and Negro history are the missing pages of world history. Go study the history of your masters. Go study the history of the people who enslaved you and find out why they found it a necessity to remove an entire people from the respective commonwealth.
First things first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil. For real, you the only father that I ever knew. I get my bitch pregnant, I'ma be a better you. Prophecies that I made way back in the veil. For fear, listen, even back when we was broke, my team ill. Martin Luther King would have been on Dreamville, talk to her, nigga. One time for my LA sisters, one time for my LA hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. 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 No role models and I'm here right now. No role models to speak of. Searching through my memory, I couldn't find one. Last night I was getting my feet rubbed by the baddest bitch. Not Trina, but I swear to God this bitch will make you call your girl up and tell her, hey, what's good? Sorry, I'm never coming home, I'ma stay for good. Then hang the phone up and proceed to lay the wood. I came fast like 911 in white neighborhoods. Ain't got no shame about it. She think I'm spoiled and I'm rich cause I can have any bitch. I got defensive and said, nah, I was the same without it. But then I thought back to a better me. Before I was a B-list celebrity, before I started calling bitches so heavily. Back when you could get a platinum plaque without no melody, you wasn't sweating me. One time for my L.A. sisters, one time for my L.A. hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows. Don't save her, she don't wanna.
wanna be saved, don't save her. She don't wanna be saved, don't save her. She don't wanna be saved, don't save her. She don't wanna be saved.
I want a real love, dark skin and Aunt Viv love. That Jada and that weird love. That leave a toothbrush at your crib, love. And you ain't gotta wonder whether that's your kid, love. Nigga, I don't want no bitch from reality shows. Out of touch with reality hoes. Out in Hollywood, bringing back 5 or 6 hoes. Fuck them, then we kick them to the door. Nigga, you know how it goes. She deserve that. She a bird, it's a bird trap. You think if I didn't rap, she would flirt back. Taking off a skirt, let her wear my shirt before she leave. I'ma need my shirt back.
Nigga, you know how it goes.
One time for my L.A. sisters. One time for my L.A. hoes. Lay niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me 3 times, fuck the peace sign. Load the chopper, let it rain on you. Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me 3 times, fuck the peace sign. Load the chopper, let it rain on you. My only regret was too young for Lisa Bonet. My only regret was too young for me alone. Now all I'm left with is hoes from reality shows. Handed a script, the bitch Riley couldn't read alone. My only regret was too young for Sade Adu. My only regret could never take Aaliyah home. Now all I'm left with is hoes up in Greystone. With the stale face, cause they know it's they song. She shallow with the pussy deep.
She shallow. She shallow.
She shallow with the pussy deep.
She shallow. She shallow.
She shallow with the pussy deep.
She shallow. She shallow.
She shallow with the pussy deep.
She shallow. Shallow.
Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved, don't save her. 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 She don't wanna be saved.
Distorted, I find nothing but trouble in my life. I'm fortunate you believe in a dream. This orphanage we call a ghetto is quite a routine. And last night was just another distraction or a reaction of what we consider madness. I know exactly what happened. You ran outside when you heard my brother cry for help. Held him like a newborn baby and made him feel like everything was alright in a fight he tried to put up. But the type of bullet that stuck had went against his will. Last blood spill on your hands, my plan's rather vindictive. Everybody's a victim in my eyes. When I ride, it's a murderous rhythm. And outside became pitch black. A demon glued to my back, whispering, get him, I got him, and I ain't give a fuck. That same mentality had told my brother not to duck. In actuality, it's a trip how we trip off of colors. I wonder if I ever discover a passion like you and recover the life that I knew as a youngin' in pajamas and thunderlungs. When thunder comes, it rains, cats and dogs dumb. Niggas like me never prosper. Prognosis of a problem child. I'm proud and well devoted. This pile of rude shit been in me forever. So forever, I'ma push it wherever, whenever. And I love you cause you love my brother like you did. Just promise me you tell this story when you make it big. And if I die before your album drop, I hope.
Promise that you will sing about me. Promise that you will sing about me. I said when the light shut off and it's it's my turn to settle down. My main concern, promise that you will sing about me. Promise that you will sing about me.
You wrote a song about my sister on your tape and called it Section 80. The message resembled Brenda's got a baby. What's crazy was I was hearing about it but doubted your ignorance. How could you ever just put her on blast and shit, judging her past and shit? Well, it's completely my future. Her nigga behind me right now asking for ass and shit. And I'ma need that $40 even if I gotta fuck, suck, and swallow in the parking lot, cause I just park, I'm followed by a married man and father of three. My titties bounce on the cadence of his tingling keys. Matter of fact, he my favorite cause he tipped me with ease. He got a cousin named David and I seen him last week. This is the life of another girl damaged by the system. These foster homes, I run away and never do miss them. See my hormones just run away, and if I can get them back to where they used to be, then I'd probably be in the denim of a family gene that show women how to be women, or better yet a leader. You needed to learn something, then you probably need to beat her. That's how I was taught, three niggas in one room. First time I was tossed and I'm exhausted. But fuck that, sorry for your lost shit. My sister died in vain, but what point are you trying to gain? If you can't fit the pumps, I walk in, I'll wait. Your rebuttal a little too late, and if you have an album date, just make sure I'm not in the song, cause I don't need the attention, bring enough of that on my own. And matter of fact, did I mention that I physically feel great? A doctor's approval is a waste of time, I know I'm straight. I probably live longer than you and never fade away. I'll never fade away, I'll never fade away. I know my fate and I'm on the ground for this cake. I'ma give it or die trying. I'm eyeing every male gender with intentions of buying. You lying to these motherfuckers talking about you can help them with my story.
Shut off, and it's my turn to settle down. My main concern, promise that you will sing about me. Promise that you will sing about me. I said when the light shut off, and it's my turn to settle down. My main concern, promise that you will sing about me. Promise that you will sing about me.
Sometimes I look in the mirror and ask myself, am I really scared of passing away? If it's today, I hope I hear a cry out from heaven so loud it can water down a demon with the Holy Ghost till it drown in the blood of Jesus. I wrote some raps that make sure that my lifeline reeking the scent of a reaper, ensuring that my allegiance with the other side may come soon. And if I'm doomed, may the wound of my mother be blessed for many moons. I suffer a lot, and every day that glass mirror get tougher to watch. I tie my stomach in knots, and I'm not sure why I'm infatuated with death. My imagination is surely an aggravation of threats that can come about, cause the tongue is mighty powerful, and I can name a list of your favorites that probably vouch. Maybe cause I'm a dreamer and sleep is the cousin of death. Really stuck in the schema, wondering when I'ma rest. And you're right, your brother was a brother to me, and your sister's situation was the one that put me in a direction to speak on something that's realer than the TV screen. By any means, wasn't trying to offend or come between her personal life. I was like, you need to be told, cursing the life of 20 generations at the Herzl. Exactly what'd happen if I ain't continue rapping or steady being distracted by money, drugs, and four fives. I count lives all on these songs. Look at the weak and cry, pray one day you be strong, fighting for your rights even when you're wrong, and hope that at least one of you think about me when I'm gone. Am I worth it? Did I put enough work in?
Promise that you will sing about me. Promise that you will sing about me. I said when the light shut off, and it's my turn to settle down. My main concern, promise that you will sing about me. Promise that you will sing about me.
Here's your time for an awakening media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, with host Brother Oshi, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Same time, same place. continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, 8 p.m. till 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Mawia Kambom and Sister Nataki Kambom, 9 p.m. till 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations, first and third Mondays. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Boniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening with creator of Time for an Awakening and host Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out, get informed, and get involved.
You are listening to Black Sister Talk, So You Can Breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the TimeForAwakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Okay, we back, y'all. Thank you, Ms. Divine, for being so patient. I got all of our lines open, so you guys, we're going to get right back into this discussion. Lulu, I really, really like the point that you brought up, and so did I like what you had to say too, Ms. Divine. I'm not going to repeat everything you're saying because I heard you, but what I will say is you're both right. And the one thing I want to make sure I add to both of you guys is the element of self-hate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Self-hate, mm-hmm. as well as racism towards our own individuals. And it's like we have taken on the identity of our oppressors, and then we internalize and then treat our kids like shit when we see them having better opportunities than we had. Is it not for us to want our children to do better than us? Is it not for us to push them and get them the best opportunity to move further than what we were? What would keep a person or what would keep a parent from being able to push that child in order to foster that growth and development? You know what? Before I even ask that question, Lulu, we got 414-998 on the line, and I just want to make sure you don't have anything you want to add to the last half before we move forward. Because sometimes that happens, and then we backtracking. So I want to make sure you move right along with us, or if you have something you want to say, you can definitely jump in and say it. Hello? 414-998, do you have anything you want to say? Okay. So I don't think they have anything they want to say.
I'm sorry, Miss.
Okay, you like, is that Miss Cena?
It is.
Oh, baby. Hey, Miss Cena.
Hey, honey, how are you?
I am doing all right. It's all right as I can be. You know, I usually say I'm doing well, but I'm just doing all right now.
I totally understand where you're coming from. You know, we have been, that cycle just continues to perpetuate itself.
and we continue to see our young black men dying, and they're the seed, and it really is very disheartening to see them fall like this. As you know, you're soon to be a licensed therapist, and I'm still in school to be so, but we see a lot of these young men within the work that we do, and their families are hurting. I see a lot of women that are really struggling with their young babies. They are just so hurt. They don't know how to help them anymore. And that's what we, as a community, you know, the village mentality has been just completely dismantled. And trying to rebuild that, I think, is going to be key. And we really need, and I think I've said this before, we really need our black men more than ever to help our black young men be rebuilt. And I think the healing process for women is going to be, you know, so important. And once we're healed, once the womb is healed, because that's where life starts. God gave us that, the beauty of being able to birth that life, but we are so broken, and especially as black women. And then that's been from years, what we've seen, what we've witnessed, the historical trauma, the family trauma. And I don't want to take up too much time. I just wanted to say that I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be able to serve. And whatever way we can do, whatever we can do to rebuild our community, to rebuild our black women, to rebuild our children, and give them back the life that they deserve, because they're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant children, and we don't give them enough credit for how exemplary they really and truly are. But until we are all healed, we'll continue to see this type of tragedy continue to just go on.
Exactly. You are so right, Zaina. These young mothers need help. Because a lot of the times they knew they wanted to have sex and they knew they wanted to have fun, but they didn't know that what they were doing, or maybe they did know what they were doing would run the risk of having a kid. And maybe that risk wasn't a challenge for them, because it just gave them an opportunity to feel stuff. And so they was willing to take that risk. These babies are hurting. They're out here calling to the streets for sex, they call to the streets for drugs, they call to the streets for any kind of attention they can get in any way.
Negative, so, or, yeah, you're absolutely right. Whether it be positive or negative, they just need that love.
They just need that love.
Mm-hmm.
And you better hope somebody positive gets to your baby before somebody negative does, because I'm telling
this will
uproot your household. This will have your kids not even believing in you. Do you not know that these kids are so smart, they lose hope and faith in you as a parent, and they don't respect you no more, because you're not their God no more. You the parent, you are your child's first God. And so when they can't believe in you no more, now we in trouble.
What can they believe in?
They don't believe in God. They don't believe in themselves. They don't believe in nothing. And I have had these hard conversations with kids, and they would tell me, "Miss Chambers, all I want to do is do. I just want somebody to give me some structure. I just want somebody to help me." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all these babies is asking for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a support. It's a support. Yeah. And you have these parents that if they've never had the opportunity to understand what it is to be parented themselves, you're asking them to raise children without that, you know, without even that internal trigger, without having that internal way of understanding and having that empathy and that love and that compassion, or understanding the, you know, and instilling values. If you don't have that, how do you give that?
Yes.
You can't. You just can't. And then the resiliency for us, you know, many of us have come up in really broken homes, but there was a level of resiliency. There was something there, whether it was our spiritual connection to God, or whether it was something else that kept us grounded, or there were other people outside of the family unit. Something had us be able to be resilient enough in order to survive the trauma that we've gone through, but not everybody has that blessing.
True.
And I thank you, ladies, for that opportunity.
And I thank you, ladies, for that opportunity.
No, exactly. Exactly. You're right. You're right. And I guess what we need to shift to this second part, because I feel like we didn't breathe it on it. I know some of us already have experienced losses of, you know, working with some of these kids. And it's just as devastating for the people who become their extended families as it is for the families. Because if you're in this line of work and you're truly doing it for the sake of helping families and seeing growth, then it's going to hit different than you being disconnected and spineless and not empathetic to these situations, because this is what you're fighting for. You're fighting every day to make sure this don't happen to one of these kids. You fighting every day so one of your kids don't have to go to the streets and become a drug dealer or become a sand dog, or you might meet a sand dog and you trying to show him another way. You trying to expose him to things that kid might have never been able to do. Hell, I had a kid who I lost last year. You know what I'm saying? I lost, this not my first kid. And I know on the line, some of y'all have lost other children as well. And so you're able to give me some advice now that I am new in this field and doing these things. So it has been helpful to be able to reach out to you guys too and talk about these things. But I've sat down and I've talked to these children and I'm like, oh, well, you can be a doctor, or you can be this, or you can be that, giving them the information because they can be. You can be anything you want to be. You can go and do anything you want to be. I grew up in the roughest of the roughest in Chicago. You understand me? I seen crackheads, drug dealers, drive-bys, everything that you could think of. Every night I'm ducking, hitting the ground because I'm hearing pow, 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 somebody getting shot up. I'm seeing a little kid about to get initiated into a gang. He ain't even 12 years old, but he's going to be a part of this gang because they already decided for him that he ain't going to be shit. They already decided for him that he ain't going to have a chance in life. He's going to go move my pack. He's going to be my little mule. You understand me? Your children are marked before you even get an opportunity to move them out that area. And that kid's seeing this shit every day, so they're like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And especially when they see them fly-ass Jordans. So that's why parents feel like, I got to buy my kids some Jordans so I don't keep them, so they don't have to go to the street and go sell Ray Ray Pack. So now I feel like I got to work 10 jobs just to make my kid happy with this materialistic shit. And now I'm not in the home because I'm out here trying to make the money to make you happy with material. Come on now. Mm-hmm. And some parents ain't even got the means necessary to go out here and make this materialistic shit happen for these kids. Let's be real. And they over here doing things that they shouldn't be doing now and teaching their kids, well, this is how you got to get by cutting corners. No, come on now. Come on. This is not the way to go. I know I've been talking a lot, and I know I got my other girl on the line. And I know I'm about to have her chime in too. Ms. Lainey, cause this hitting home for a lot of us. Hey, Kamiya.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Ms. Lainey. Hi, great discussion. Where I begin, because I mean, what Ms. Lulu said.
I'm finna breathe on it real tough, because
I'm gonna bring another perspective in play too that's plaguing our young people in our community. Yes, it started with slavery over 400 years ago, so that was systematically done, which has taught our children how to. That hate towards one another, because our black on black crime is just up right now. I've lost three children in the last 2 weeks in my hometown. Grew up in completely good homes, not out here in these streets doing nothing crazy to anyone, They're productive in what they're doing. And because of someone that looks like them and hating on them, took their lives. So now that was just a selfish act. Because now you got a mother that's mourning, trying to bury her son. There's another mother that's mourning, trying to bury her son. Then you got the police and everybody else trying to figure out who caused this for anybody, because they too coward to come up on the scene to do this at face value. You know what I'm saying? So when is that going to stop? You know, yes, we need to fix the other part, but we need to fix it within our race too, because we have it two times fold over and over again. And they're taking our black men out, and it ain't just the white people. I'm going to put it out there. It's some people that looks like us. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to get that together and rebuild our community and say, hey, enough is enough, and show them a different way, whatever hatred, whatever that's going on in their heart, because we're the only race that can't come together and do nothing. We can't buy houses together. We can't invest together. We can't drive a nice car without somebody wanting to steal the rims, the Cadillac convertible off it. We can't do nothing. I live close to my neighborhood is full of moms. It's 15 of them in the house. You get what I'm saying? The men work third shift and the women work first shift. They all in the same house. So last week, everybody got beds. This week, somebody got tires on their car. They are working together. I want my race to do that, but we can't. And they're killing all our black babies for what? What is the purpose? What is the motive behind it? And I'm not just going to blame this on the parents. I'm not going to blame this on them not being raised the correct way. Because let me tell you, I raised mine the correct way. I was a single parent. But guess what? I have a child that liked what her friends was doing because they was wearing the name brand stuff. And she went on out there and migrated with them. But guess what? She never got in trouble because she knew her mama was going to let her ride in jail. And she figured it out. She's 29 now. She figured it out. Like, this is what my mama was trying to tell me. If my name ain't on the label, I'm not wearing it. I got a sewing machine. If I'm going to make some clothes, I'm putting my own name on it. I'm not going to make nobody else rich. And them label clothes don't make who you are. So I didn't get caught up in that. They was clean. They had a roof over their head. They never knew what it was like to not have lights, gas, food, shelter, none of that. Because they were always taken care of. Mm-hmm. Sacrifice to me to take care of two little kids because, you know, the deadbeats went on about their business. I'm sorry, men. It's not all men, but just my two right now I'm talking about. They chose the highway, you know, to go the other way. And that's fine because at the end of the day, they were still my children and I still had to raise them. And the thing about it is I raised a boy. He's 32 years old. I couldn't teach him how to be a man, but I could give him the basics. And guess what? He the best man around here. He can clean house better than a woman. He can treats his elders like they supposed to be. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. He opens doors for him. He do whatever he can for him. And I raised that boy without his father by the grace of God. Cause if it wasn't for God, I couldn't raise it. So we ain't finna go through that. Our children, I don't care how we raise them. If they get caught up in all the riffraff out there, like Ms. Chambers and some of the other ones saying, then that's what they get caught up in. But it ain't got nothing to do with their upbringing. Nothing. Not a thing. Because eventually they go back to it, if it's not too late. But I want to add on that black on black crime, because that's what I'm seeing now. That's what I'm seeing now. Because they done took two people's babies. One was 23. One was 24. They took another woman's baby last night. Left him face down in a park in our hometown. Dead. Cowards. Black men that's killing our babies. Oh. Why? Because you hating because they got on the nice shoes, them Jordans like Ms. Chambers said. You hating because they mom and daddy or could be mama. Or it could be with daddy, that they working at nice jobs and taking care of them. You hating because they got nice houses and want nice things in life, or they got a good education and going on to be something in life. What is it? Because this is the systematic thing that has started years ago. Yes, it still exists. But this new thing with this black on black crime, this is something new. And that's
no,
what we need to fix.
I got the breeze on this. This black on black crime is not new. This black on black crime go all the way back to the damn plantation. Okay. And then it go to the penitentiary and it go to the goddamn neighborhood. O block, D block, South Side, Milwaukee, West Side, Chicago, all of that. This has been a problem. But during that time, they didn't care about nobody knowing who they were when they were doing this. But you got these people shooting people sitting in cars. That's what they done to my kid last year. Shot him up in the car. They don't give a damn. You got more than me. I don't give a damn. You see the scar on my face? Come on now. Mm-hmm. This is real talk. Mm-hmm. I am a victim of a motherfucker trying to take advantage of a situation. I am a victim of a person sitting there watching me riding my jag, minding my business, doing my own thing, being a strong black woman. And this motherfucker will come over here and try to watch me. Okay? Watch me. Not for one day, not for 2 days, for days, for weeks. Do you understand me? People will watch you. And learn
sometimes you could be in a place that you ain't supposed to be in or at the wrong place, you know. I don't know what it is. Because I think back to a few years ago, probably about 7, 8, 9 years ago, I was going to a little corner store, you know, trying to support my community, going to buy my children some video games for their games, and had just walked in the store. Now, mind you, I saw these two, and I don't want to stereotype nobody, but when your gut tell you something is wrong, you need to follow your that inner thing that's trying to tell you. But I got them out anyway because I saw two black men just hanging around, and I'm not stereotyping because they were black because it could have been two white men, two Chinese, whatever. But at any rate, they were standing around. Hanging around this store, and I just go in the store. The minute I go in the store and I get to talking to him about a game, here these two come in. I look over my left shoulder. One is locking the door, and the other one has the gun in the man's face. And that was my first time in life. And these were some young black men. And my first time in life comes before somebody with a gun. So these two guys, I'm trying to go out the store because I ain't got to do that. He's like, no, you're not going either. So they tried to put us in the back room, but they didn't realize the store owner had his alarm thing around his neck. So the minute he turned around, his alarm went off, scared the mess out of it, and they both ran out the store. It was number guys. Everybody knew if they had to pick us in that back room, it was going to be a wrap. My kids wouldn't have knew where I was at. Well, they knew I went to the store. Because they were at school, and I said, well, I'm going to surprise them. So when they get home, they'll have more games for their, you know, their game system. Trying to do something, you know, right by them. Not trying to please them, because I was never a parent pleaser. But... That was the most scariest thing in my life. And I say that because I had a friend that was an officer that got killed in the line of duty. So he always told me, when I see people following me or if I see people standing around, just sit and wait for a few minutes, and then I get out. So that's how I operate now.
I'm definitely her. Let me tell you,
because bullets don't have no name on it. When people decide they want to do something to somebody, they don't care what you look like, how you look, what you're doing, they're going to do it.
Exactly. And it just speaks to how these people have no heart and how something is truly, truly broken in these people. Truly broken in these people. You know what? That incident is what even drove me to this field right now, and to even try to work and save these kids. I'm trying to tell you, this is what drove me here. My trauma drove me to this field. Before all of this stuff happened to me, I was out here. I was a model. Okay, can you believe that? Yes, I was a model. I was out here taking pictures, posing. girly girl, makeup all the time. Y'all can't even pay me to sit down and do a whole full face. You understand me? This is what you're gonna get. Natural beauty, a little lipstick, a little gloss, maybe some lashes. You understand me? Eyebrows together, but you understand what I'm saying? That did a 360 in my life. Okay, and then to go and still have a heart for that young man and to recognize, you know what, hearing everything, this kid got a rap sheet as long as the goddamn Mississippi River, okay? That's how much shit this kid done, and the system continue to let him come out here and wreak havoc on the community. And I'm not going to even mention to you guys that the same person that done this to me, he went out to go do the same thing to other people in the community, break into their house and take their thing. Can you believe this motherfucker only took a TV and a goddamn PlayStation 4? This is materialistic shit. This shit is shit that bums be worried about. This shit is that stuff that bums do. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to breathe on that. This is what people do. They will prey on you. And these kids are just getting caught up in the mix. Not even to mention, not even to mention the mental health component that these children are facing. We cannot ignore that these kids have been traumatized and have PTSD and have had PTSD for quite some time, and it has been unnoticed, and they're suffering silence. And they are suffering in silence. And their mother is suffering in silence. And so they learn they have no self-worth. Okay? Let's breathe on that. No self-worth. How the hell can they have self-esteem if they don't got no self-worth? We gonna breathe on becoming possessive over your goddamn self next week. And becoming one who loves yourself. Okay?
You know. You know.
We don't have to breathe on that.
I agree, but I do understand. They have a heart for love when they do something wrong. A lot of people hate on these kids, but they do need that love so they don't keep. And then you got to earn trust. One of my kids from Chicago, his brother was shot in the face, in his head, and all the matter went on.
He had no where to go, but he had a plan because they had robbed somebody, wrong people, he went to the ambulance, hit the money in the house, and I told him, but I told him, you know, you're going in and out, I can barely hear you, and when he went to the house, the money was not there, but then he ended up robbing, he said, I let you down, I let you down, but no, you let yourself down, you let yourself down, so just telling them the truth will help.
So that's my question. What are you going to do? Because we can't change the past.
You know what, Lulu? That just hit home for me. And I'm going to tell you why. I got to let you know, this young man who even gave me this, you know, gave me the spirit to even touch on this topic, this young man told me. You know, and Josh, man, you on the line, you could chime in on this as well. But that young man told me, I'ma disappoint you. Miss Chambers, he sat in my car, and this young man said to me, Miss Chambers, I'ma disappoint you. And to just hear you say that right now, that hit home. And so what I'm going to do is I'm always be real. I'm always acknowledge anything that come up for me and my feelings, because we can't internalize things all the time. I'm going to get
you
out.
No, we can't. No, we can't.
Can process that. And that's a shame that our young men grow up thinking that they're going to disappoint us.
Yeah, you better
say it. That's why I said, you disappoint yourself because I'm going to believe you.
Yes, but do you not understand the power of positivity? Do you not understand the power of being there for someone? Even if you just to check in and say, hello, how you doing? See, one thing as dysfunctional as my family was, I grew up in a community. We had a block club. We had people very involved. Every year we would have block club parties and there would be meetings all throughout the year where each individual families would contribute money. You know what I'm saying? I seen a, a community doing what they needed to do. Buying the lawnmowers to make sure the grass stay cut. Buying the snow blower so two on each, one on each side. So when the snow come, that person on the end of the block go and snow blow the whole block. You understand what I'm saying?
Community
builds and works together and creates the environment. The environment. Poverty is depressing as fucking hell. Waking up every day, there's dirt everywhere. Do you understand me? Nothing growing, no life. They come outside like this is dirt here. It's dirt. It's no fucking grass. Come on. It's trash everywhere. But they gotta, don't get me wrong, we gotta take pride in our communities too, while I'm telling y'all this. This comes with the community getting up and getting up on their ass and getting these things together. Because if there is not a community approach to this, I don't know what to do. I'm to tell you. I don't know what to tell you if y'all not ready to get up and knock on the door and go say, hey, neighbor, how you doing today? Is everything okay? Do you need anything? Are you struggling? Be direct. Because when people say, hello, how are you doing? You go right back and say, I'm good. Everything's fine. Ask me how I'm doing. I'm going to tell your ass the truth. You're going to be like, I was not expecting it. But that's what I'm going to have to teach you. I'm going to teach you how to be honest. Because I'm not living behind, no, I can't see you shit. I'm not doing that. I'm on some, you going to see me. I'm valid. I'm enough. And this is my feeling. You know what I'm saying? This is my feeling. And so we have to move forward on that. But the one thing that I want to go back to is the fact that some of these young men with this PTSD, like I was saying, this is a mental health issue. It's not being addressed. And furthermore, some of these young men got other things going on with them, like autism, depression, anxiety, and a slew of other things. And with this stuff going unnoticed and people preying on your babies, right? They out here in the streets. They are coming after your son. They are coming after your kids like, oh, he ain't got no damn problem. He know how to walk from here to over there and get him this pack. Shit, he more smart than me. Come on. He know how to bring that money back. He know how to count. Oh, he don't know how to count. Well, he don't need to count long as he bring me all my money back. Do you understand me? Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. I open the lines up. I want to hear. If I'm wrong, y'all in the comments just tell me I'm wrong. But I'm here to let you know. I know stuff. I got the book smart and the street smart. Okay?
I'm going to tell you.
Miss Chambers.
Yes.
You are absolutely correct. And another part you got to take into consideration that the reason why these mental health issues are not addressed, it depends on what part of the world
you're in.
And what insurances they have, or if they don't have insurance. Because I know the state of Mississippi is behind the curve. And it's a lot of stuff that gets swept under the rug, and the people that look like me and you don't get those opportunities to get those issues addressed.
I'm with you. No, I have
I'm
a
with
gun.
You, honey. And I'm coming to their house and I'm knocking on the door. Here's my card.
But we have to take care in our home. And deal with that illness. Because we know that child.
Luna, what is wrong with your phone? I can't even hear you. Oh my God.
I know there's something wrong. I've been
hearing it from everybody.
No, I'm just hearing it from your phone.
Really?
Hang up and call right back. Yeah.
Let me call back.
Yeah, call back. But, you know, this ain't something we gonna solve in one day. I gotta let you know that. But this is definitely a good start to the think tank on breathing. Does anybody have any solution that we can offer? I know, Josh Jermaine, we kind of talked about this in the previous show about the role models and building up this Big Brother, Big Sister programs, but family, you know, don't do what you need to do. I mean, yes, I'm for you using the system to get some help. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Get some people involved, but actually use these skills that are coming your way. Actually take this serious. Actually have a heart. Even if you don't have a heart for yourself, have a heart for your child. At least put your kid in a better position. And please,
can you hear me now? Better? You hear me now? Better?
Please work on yourself. Yes, I can hear you, Miss Bennett.
Okay, I just want to say, it's gonna have to happen from the home. And anybody, because I've been traumatized. But my son is 43 years old. Finally working his job. He has done what he needs to do, and he paid me a little rent and helped buy food for his own needs. But it's going to take it in the home.
It's going to take it in the home for your kids.
What age they are? Because I can't help that. I know y'all say kids need to be listened to and breathe, and I do ask the hard questions because sometimes kids not going to tell you. But I do. I've learned to ask the hard questions. And I've even apologized for the dumb things that I might have done as a parent, not knowing. But I said, that's no mean that you can walk over me. But we have to, people, no matter what stage they are, who they are, we can't change them. They have to take what they got and use it to the betterment of their home and their community. And then the community will be a safer place to live. Hello?
Come on now.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening. See, we also got to have time to process, Lulu.
Yes. And it took a lot of tears there.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, and especially you.
43. Mm-hmm. My son told me he was never going to leave home. And I put him out that apartment three times. And now he's back. So I got to settle with what I got.
I know that's right. And that's just you being a mother and not giving up on your son, because you know that if he don't have you as a support system, he will fall victim to these streets. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that's recovering or dealing with mental health or dealing with any AODA issues, you are only as strong as your support system. I pray that you're able to do it on your own without a support system one day, but we need to have some support and some structure in place to assist you so that you're able to stand on your own one day. But sometimes you got to look at the right now and say, this is necessary. Go ahead and stop being so stubborn and learn to be honest with yourself. Check in with your inner self. Is this bothering me? Is this helping or hindering my process? What are my goals? What do I want to accomplish not only today, but in the next month? What do I want to accomplish in the next 3 months? What do I want to accomplish in the next 6 months? You know what I'm saying? We can do that for anybody that may not have any issues with drugs or mental health. But for people who are having issues with, and I got to take that back because everyday people have issues with that. Everyday people have issues with that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If that's not in you to be organized, and if that's not in you to get up and fight, you don't know how to do that. That's not in you. That's something that is learned. And if you are ignorant, meaning you don't have the knowledge on certain things, then you gotta be open to learning. Mm-hmm. You have to be open to saying, you know what? It's another way that can be done. That ain't the only way I can fry this chicken. I could air fry this chicken, or I can use this seasoning, just to use that as an example. You know what I'm saying? Because Ms. Chambers loves chicken and she's cooking chicken for dinner. So let's stay on topic. But I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know it's more than one way to do something. And we have to stop being so caught up in, oh, this is the only way it's gonna go. Grown people, stop getting caught up in, I can't make a change. You can make a change. You do, you have the opportunity. You know what? You have an opportunity to decide. And if you're an adult and you still working through some shit that kept you stuck from a child, now it's time to process that. Now it's time to understand you are not the issue. And to any black boy, to any young black man that's out there, we need to save them by saving ourselves. We need to save them by shedding the bitterness that comes with having these kids, because you knew when you laid down what was going to happen. And to anybody who had been laid down against their will, that's not your fault. I love you. I want to share that. I want to give you the warmest hug I can give you and let you know, sis, it's going to be okay. Somebody loves you. Somebody cares. Somebody is here to tell you you are enough. Somebody wants to see you shine so bright and show you the diamond that you are. Somebody seen that rose that grew from the concrete and nurtured that baby and let it grow. It's not a lot of roses that's going to grow from this concrete, but it's a lot of love out here to help you break through. Do you understand me? You just got to be willing to ask for help. Some of us too got too much damn pride. We ain't even going to ask nobody for shit. I know I had that issue for a long time. I ain't asked nobody for nothing. Why? Because I'm an only child? No, because I'm the first child and I'm a natural born leader? Or is it because I had to lead everybody around me who didn't know what the hell they was doing and I had to be parentified? What is it? Whatever it is, it's something that has helped me to be stronger and mold me to the individual you're looking at today that can move forward and help those who need the help. So I want you to know, the only way we're going to save our black boys is if we save ourselves, black women and black men. Be in your kids' lives. I don't care if you don't like his or her mother. Be in their life. I don't care if you like his or her sexual identity. Be in that kid's life. I don't care if you don't like the friends they hang out with. Be the friend your kid needs so they can understand how to be a friend to somebody else. Be the lover that your kid can understand how to love someone else. Be there for your kids when they, I want to learn how to do this or that. Or if your kids want to do TikTok because that's what the kids like to do now, get yourself involved and learn how to boom, 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 whatever the hell they asses be doing. You learn how to do that. And even if you can't do all the moves, make that one little rollout you do, make that a banger. You understand me? Because your kids need that attention. I'm dead ass serious. Next time we up in them therapy sessions, like, show me how to do that TikTok dance. Because I want you to be able to express yourself, be you, be who you truly are, and not have to be afraid. Be you. And hope that somebody can love you for you. Because we have failed these kids along the way. And it's so heartbreaking to see these things happening and being a bystander. You can't even make certain calls about certain stuff. You ain't got enough information. You understand me? Stuff is hard. Listen, this is Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. We're going to be here next Saturday, 3 to 5 Central Time. Okay, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. You can always catch us during that time. We will be talking about becoming possessive over yourself, while learning how to show your self-love by developing unconditional self-worth. That is what we will be talking about next week. You can always reach us at 215-490-9832. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/blacksistertalk. And you can always cash app us and send us any donations you would like to send us at $LiftingForward. Which is my business, lifting individuals forward every day. And that's what I do. I lift individuals forward every day to help them understand that they have somebody out here ready to lift them up in the spirit and help them move forward in life. Thank you all for breathing with us today. And I hope that you join us next week on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. Have a happy Saturday and go out and be safe. Understand?
My young nigga 14, he ride round that pole. See shorty bout that life. Ain't that nigga finna go on.
was on the block shooting dice when some grown nigga just stole on him. He hopped up and up pole on him. He ain't say nothing, he just blowed on him. See Shorty drop that light. It was bad witnesses, local citizens. And Shorty ain't think twice. Nah, he's up and did this shit like he ain't give a shit. Bullets in his top, upper ligament. Blunt to the head, Shorty finished. The whole city knows Shorty killing shit. He ain't go to jail, yeah, Shorty lit. 5 years later, Shorty still a troop. He be daddy famous. He be on the news. He don't give a damn. He be skipping school, breaking all the rules, giving niggas blue. School of the street, Shorty got a jewel. He picked the wrong one. Shorty finna lose. He don't even hustle. Shorty as a fool. And he ain't got no money. Shorty shit a hoop. Fuck that scheme ass quick way. Give a fuck what you think, nigga. Gotta get the rent paid. Can't get a job, got my body to take it. Used to the safe way, he was in the gangway. He got a dropout, that was Lil Wayne stay. Lil Wayne having both for a decade. Lil Wayne, he ain't play, he a headache. But Shorty ain't care, he was ready. Now Shorty creeped up to the back door. And his cameras all around his nigga crib. I don't know why Shorty did that for. Lil Wayne saw him coming through the threshold. Couldn't believe Lil Shorty was that bold. Lil Wayne tried to shoot, Shorty let go. Lil Wayne ear bleeding, it was that close. Few more shots, he looked up, Shorty got ghost. Now it's war outside. Or nigga, you gon' die. Wayne mad, this shit gettin' old. He hot, this deep gettin' cold. He gettin' tired, shootin' another nigga home. He ain't never there, little nigga always gone. Every call he get, he thirsty. He saw his cousin and murk him. Friday driveway at church. His auntie son that hurt him. Now Shorty crying at the funeral, soon to tie. Look auntie straight in her eyes. Whoever did this shit gon' die. Whoever did this, mama gon' cry. He slide, I slide, we slide. Ain't stopping till one of us die. Ain't stopping till one of us die. Mass war outside.
Yeah. You ain't tryna ride, but you ain't tryna.